And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Yeah, I was really hoping to get him on because of the dude's name.
What is it? Billy Bob Thornton?
Joe Camisa.
No, I don't believe you.
I swear to God, his name is Joseph Camisa.
Is he the asshole that's got your domain?
No, I got a random friend request on Facebook the one day from a Joseph Camisa. I'm like, do I know this dude? And I had no idea who he was, but he has me as a friend. He has my uncle, my dad's brother, Joseph Camisa, as a friend. And he's just befriending all these other Joe Camisas, and he runs a barcade in Florida.
Amazing.
Nice.
So that would have been awesome to have.
Oh, he can tell us all his best Florida man stories, too.
Oh, God. I guess so. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris. I wasn't ready.
You guys, and
I'm Pappy.
You guys need
ready.
Get your shit together. Get your shit together.
It's just all of a sudden, it's like, are we going to start this? Sure. I'm Joe. I'm like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. So this is episode 180 of the SML podcast. Just
too many.
Coming down to what I included in the cold open of the show, which is probably going to be the whole Joe Camisa thing. We don't have a guest with us right now. We had one.
Just us.
But it kind of fell apart.
We lost.
So
hold them on the black market.
What's going on, guys?
I'm kind of okay with just us for a minute because, you know, it's nice. Once in a while, it's nice.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Games. Lots of games. There's news. There's news.
Oh,
we never touch on news anymore.
The Miimoto shit came out today.
Miitomo.
Oh shit. Miitomo.
Yes.
I'm gonna find it right now.
I don't mean shit as in like, oh, it's shit. I mean just like.
What is
it? Check out that shit, you know.
The new My Nintendo program has released in America, and Miitomo is the first app that Nintendo has ever made that is right now, today, available on Android and iOS. Again, Nintendo.
Facebook with Miis.
Yeah, it pretty much is. It's Facebook with Miis. They have, I actually pulled up my Nintendo account right here.
There's little mini games, right?
I haven't really messed around with the Miitomo too much because it won't let me import my Mii. So I'm going to try figuring out how to get my Mii into it.
That's bullshit.
But the My Nintendo program, it looks a lot more complicated than previous. Like the Nintendo, just the Club Nintendo and shit like that. There are three different currencies for My Nintendo. The first one is Miitomo points, which, you know, you get for adding a friend using face-to-face method, which I would assume is, you know, you do something locally with your iPads or your Androids or your Blackberries or your Jitterbugs or whatever. And
Jitterbugs?
you earn points that way, which I would assume is you use to buy stuff in Miitomo. Like, they have game tickets you could buy. They have Mario outfits. They also have silver or possibly platinum Nintendo. What are you opening?
Fuck you.
He's opening the coin.
It's so loud. they have, I think, platinum coins, which you get for, let me open the missions here.
I'm loading the app right now, so I'm going to have my first.
You're loading the Miitomo app or the My Nintendo?
I just installed it.
Because you need to create a My Nintendo account as well.
It's not going to let me do it while I'm...
I have no idea. I just went to the website earlier, my.nintendo.com. You can earn...
I'm gonna,
the platinum coins by linking your Facebook, linking your Google Plus, linking Twitter. And then you can also earn the coins by signing into the eShop and Miiverse on a weekly basis. So you can earn 30 coins for each of those on a recurring basis. They also have a 100-point bonus for just linking your Nintendo account to your Nintendo Network ID, which is, you know, your account on the Wii U or the 3DS. They also have gold stars, which you earn those by purchasing things. A $5 to $9.99 purchase gets you 10 stars. 10 to $19.99 gets you 20, and so on and so forth, up to a $70 or more purchase. All downloadable stuff gets you 80 stars. And I would assume you could earn those as many times as you want to bank up whatever you got, and you can use those to get different rewards through the program. Let me see what they have in the rewards now. 1,000 of the silver coins or the platinum coins can get you My Nintendo Picross, The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, for a download code for the 3DS. You can spend, 420 platinum points to get 5 game tickets in Miitomo. You can get discount coupons, like 30% discount on Splatoon for 140 tokens, gold star token things. You could spend the gold points to get, they have Mario Land 2 for the 3DS, WarioWare Touched for the 3DS, Pikmin DLC for the Wii U, Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii U. What the hell else do they have here? Just all digital stuff so far. Apparently they're going to add physical stuff eventually, but who knows? The one thing that appeals to me is I want to try getting that Twilight Princess Picross, because I love the Picross games, and that might be an exclusive thing. I don't know. I haven't been on the 3DS eShop in a while.
I completely zoned out for that entire conversation.
You brought it up.
I regretted it instantly. That's why I opened up my pretzels.
You dickhead.
So I am having a hard time
keeping your pants on?
Linking my account. I'm not even finding my account at all.
Your Nintendo account or the My Nintendo account? Because you can sign in with your Nintendo Network ID or the My Nintendo account. You might need to go on the website and create an account first. I don't know.
So they still manage to actually
I'm getting a
make
phone call
this
that I have
pain
to
in
take.
The butt.
Sorry, I have to step away from
you. Oh, son of a bitch.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
So while Nintendo did do something new and innovative, they still made it a pain in the ass.
Pretty much. They have to find a way to make things a pain in the ass, or it's not Nintendo.
Yeah, because it's still... The great thing I love about Japanese companies is that they don't have the selfish, narcissistic bullshit that we have in America, where the CEOs make, you know, literally 10,000 times more money than a worker. You know, their CEOs only make, like, anywhere from 9 to 20 times more. But their CEOs make a lot more day-to-day decisions, I feel, and since none of them know what an internet is, Nintendo's decisions always seem to be head-shaking when it comes to online accessibility. You know?
Yeah, I think they're still stuck in like the olden days of everything, but whatever.
And it's not figuratively, it's literally
baby steps.
You know, yeah, the one poorly is accepting, which is weird, because in terms of technological innovation, they're so far fucking ahead of us as a country, yet Nintendo's like, no, we don't, this internet's a fad.
Well, I don't think they think it's a fad anymore. They were just late to the game, and they're doing it the Nintendo way.
Yeah, it's just so confusing that, you know, Japan is easily going to be the first fucking country to actually make hoverboards.
Probably.
Yet Nintendo will still try to insist that a dial-up connection is all you need.
No, they don't think that. Come on, they're not that.
I'm just making the comparison.
They're not that far in the past. Oh my God, Potato is so clingy tonight. This is the fourth time she's jumped up on me.
Well,
dude, I'm having
stop rolling around in fucking tuna fish, Joe. This wouldn't be a problem.
Dude, I don't understand why I'm having such a hard time like logging into my account.
I don't know, man. I don't know. As Potato,
because I know I have stuff that's purchased and shit. Like,
oh, we were just talking about it because Nintendo doesn't internet well.
Well, if you had an old Nintendo account, there's a chance that you need a new one. I really don't know. I did the whole pre-registration thing a couple of weeks ago when it first popped up. So,
well, they sent me an email. Let me find. Yeah,
they
sent me an email, and it has a code in it. It says, as a former member of Club Nintendo, you are qualified for bonus My Nintendo Platinum points, and it gave me a code.
Okay.
So, it obviously knows that I have an account.
It knows you had a Club Nintendo account. Club Nintendo accounts and My Nintendo accounts are separate. It's a whole new thing. Club Nintendo is dead and gone.
Well, right, but like the purchases that I made to my system, what account would that go through?
Your Nintendo Network ID.
Okay, so I would have to log in using my Nintendo Network ID?
Yes.
Now, when I try and log in using my Nintendo Network ID, it asks me to create a Nintendo account.
Okay.
Is that
so? Are we going to talk about news, or are we just going to troubleshoot through his Nintendo?
It's fucking tech support over a podcast.
Right now, we're doing tech support.
Final Fantasy 15 announced and actually put up trailers and shit. Let's talk about that. I'm just
going to
keep swearing.
I like how Pappy's trying to jump on to new topics, and as soon as I start talking about the new topic, he's going to zone out again, like, why did I mention this? I don't have anything to contribute.
I'm proud of myself for knowing what's going on, but I still don't actually care.
That's fair.
All right, Pappy, tell us all the news about Final Fantasy 15.
Everything I know is literally from Zach's Twitter, so I don't really think you want me leading this this charge.
All right, well, this week, Final Fantasy 15 was confirmed for a September 30th release date on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. There is a demo available now that you can get for free. It is completely different from the episode Dusuke or whatever demo that was in Final Fantasy Type-0. This is apparently a completely separate, standalone feel for the game, like story-wise, it's not in the full version of the game. So the only thing
as I was scrolling through Twitter that for some reason, I don't know if you saw the picture of the four dudes in like a diner playing on a pinball machine.
Okay.
So that was one of the promo photos they released. For some reason, and I don't know if either of you guys have ever read this, but Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett wrote a book called Good Omens.
Okay.
Basically about what if, you know, the whole Damien, son of the devil thing, what if he got mixed up? And so regular people were raising the son of the devil, but the evil people were raising a regular kid and no one realized it. And at one point, the four horsemen of the apocalypse are in a rundown diner, you know, dicking around. And for some reason I saw that and I was just like, I kind of wish those were the four horsemen in the game, like some kind of variation on it. I have no idea why, but that picture just reminded me of that book like a lot.
You're a bummer.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense to me. But now I kind of want this Final Fantasy to be all about you're one of the four horsemen, but you keep fucking up. You know? Because why not?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm
he's logging in.
I'm logging in. I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Yeah, I got through using my Nintendo stuff and I'm checking out the app.
This is an all over podcast.
Seriously. This is what happens when we don't have a guest.
Well, cuz here think of it, you have to think of it from my perspective, okay? For me, Nintendo doing an app is a really big fucking deal. Like I never thought that Nintendo would actually finally make the leap over into a mobile market. And I honestly think if they do it right, they could fucking dominate. So I am very interested to see like what they're doing here.
Well, so far it's not much of anything. It's just like a social networking app and that's it so far.
But you have to be able to appreciate like if it's coded well, does it run smooth? Are there any hiccups? Like, you know, just basic troubleshooting that you can do with it. I still want to kind of judge it on that level too.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I don't think during the show is the best time to put a new app through its paces, but
I'm just so excited because I forgot that this happened.
That's your homework for next week. You could play with the app for next week.
Fine.
But let's get back to the Final Fantasy 15 news since Pappy wanted to move on to that.
Something that I can't contribute in.
Neither can I. We're making Johto.
Well, the demo is up now, so you could play through that. Apparently, if you complete the demo, it can unlock some kind of bonus for the full game, which is neat. Square Enix has also announced not one, but two special editions of the game.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
How much are they going to cost?
That doesn't sound... Oh, my God, Joe.
The first one isn't that bad. The first one isn't too bad. They have the Final Fantasy 15 Deluxe Edition. It's $89.99. It is available pretty much everywhere. It is... I'm loading up the page here. It comes with a steelbook with Yoshitaka Amano? I probably fucked it up. Amano artwork. It is absolutely jaw-droppingly gorgeous steelbook artwork. It comes with a Blu-ray of the Kingsglaive series that they're doing. And then it also has a car recolor, costume DLC, just digital content, and a weapon.
Yeah.
So it has an outfit, a weapon, and a car skin, as well as the Blu-ray, the game, and the steelbook. That's $89.99. So that's... it's kind of pricey for what's there, but it's Square Enix, so you're paying the Square Enix tax.
Honestly, I'll say $90 is about right because the steelbook usually, you know, you're thinking they usually charge. It's rare that you get a $60 game with a steelbook.
Sometimes
a Blu-ray is $20, especially if it's like a nice solid 2 or 3 hours worth of content.
Now, personally, I think it's a little bit pricey for what's included, but it is Square Enix, and they have their Square Enix tax.
I'd say it's cheaper than what Square Enix usually puts out. But your Ultimate Edition with all of the things...
Speaking of cheaper than what Square usually puts out, they have the Ultimate Collector's Edition of Final Fantasy XV.
Only 30,000 units.
Oh, yes, correct. Only 30,000 available worldwide.
Worldwide. It will sell out in 16 seconds after it goes on sale.
Correction, it is sold out.
16 seconds after it went on sale. Okay.
It is, available exclusively from the Square Enix online store. The Ultimate Collector's Edition includes all the Deluxe Edition content, except for the Steelbook. Plus an additional exclusive 2-disc steelbook containing the official Blu-ray disc music, featuring music from the game, Kingsglaive, and Brotherhood. The Brotherhood Blu-ray, which is like an anime series, and it also contains a 6th episode of the series, and it includes a Play Arts Noctis action figure with an exclusive weapon only available in that package. On top of that, it has a 192-page hardcover art book and even more exclusive in-game packs. So you're getting the game, two Blu-rays featuring the two series, a Blu-ray music disc, two steelbooks, an art book, and a figure, all in collectible packaging.
I'm going to guess, since I haven't seen any prices, I only... the only link I clicked was just the contents. So okay. I'm going to say $400.
Surprisingly, no. $269.99.
Okay.
Too rich for my blood.
And it is already on sale. Let me click on the eBay link. $600.
Not shocked at all. Because, again, it, for on the Square Enix store, they have the Xbox One edition and the PS4 edition. And both of them, if you're interested, you have to sign up for a waiting list and hope for some cancellations.
Jesus.
I mean, to be fair, normally those Play Arts figures that Square Enix creates and sells, those figures alone can go for like $130, $140.
I believe it.
So that figure alone, you're already getting a nice chunk of value out of that edition. Add into
which
there.
Which is actually pretty weird because, you know, I never got into the figurine stuff, but it's amazing how much they cost. Like, I got, when I was married, I got my wife the figurines from this popular anime called K-On!, and I got her like the medium tier ones that were like $40 to $50 a pop, but the high end, like fully opposable, were like $200 a piece.
Yeah, the Square Enix, those Play Arts figures are pretty ridiculous. Like, they are insane quality, insane detail. So those themselves run a lot of money. Plus, you're getting the $60 game. Plus, you're getting the two Blu-rays of both Kingsglaive and the Brotherhood series, plus a Blu-ray soundtrack, which those themselves, Square can usually sell for $40 or $50. Plus,
but at the same time, it's $300.
Yep. Getting more emails. But yeah, to the shock of absolutely no one, I did get a pre-order in for the Xbox version. There is a 95% chance I'm going to cancel it, because just the cost of everything is ridiculous considering how we've been struggling lately. Right. I do have an Amazon pre-order for the deluxe edition with the Amazon Prime bonus. It's like $71. Which is a lot reasonable than the ultra super mega edition. I mainly got that ultimate edition pre-order as a just in case.
Sure.
Because when I went on the site last night and I saw the PS4 was already on a waiting list, I'm like, fuck it, I can always cancel it.
Yeah. I actually this kind of brings up a topic that I don't think we've ever I don't know if we've touched on it. If we have touched on it, it had to be like a long time ago. Considering, you know, obviously people like us, people like yourself, we're in the know with a lot of things that are going on as far as a lot of the collector's items for certain series and things that are normally like high ticket, high cost, sought after things.
Yeah.
We all know that there's a problem with people purchasing them with the intention of scalping them. Now, what is your perspective on someone? Like, where's your moral compass at when it comes to like, you know, if you ever got in a super sticky situation where you absolutely had to come up with money? I mean, like, it's kind of hard to ignore those types of like that type of information. Like, because
if I'm in the kind of situation where I really need money, it's not the kind of situation where I can spam a purchase button on my computer and then turn around and sell it on eBay.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I'm just curious.
My moral compass, first thing is I would never sell a pre-order because you don't have the item. Anything can go wrong. And then if it does go wrong, you're just as fucked as the guy you were ripping off.
Sure. Well, now here's the thing. What if you have all of the intentions of the world of holding up your end of the bargain? You know what I mean? Like it's not that if you were to be put in a situation like that, you know, sure the other person can get mad, but it's completely out of your control.
Well, I think
if you're in that position, we can
play gray area forever and come up with different answers. For me, the long and short of it is, if you're making a purchase with the full intent of resale, then you're an asshole.
100% agree.
And then you If you make the purchase, yeah. I mean, I know there's been situations with you, Joe, where you bought something and you're like, hey, I really actually need the money more than this item. But the first thing you do is offer it to friends. Like, hey, I need to sell this collector's edition, or hey, I need to sell this. You know, does anybody want to buy it at cost?
Yeah. If anything, I'll mark it up like $5 for shipping or to get packaging. It's not like I'm going to get an $80 special edition and try selling it for $150. I'll ask for maybe 90 to cover PayPal fees, you know, shipping the thing, tax.
Now the reason why I bring this up is, you know, look at someone like Steve. You know, he has a private business set up where people on the regular bring him items that he intends to resell. So he buys it in at a smaller cost. And he resells it at a higher cost, and that is literally his entire business.
And that is his business.
One, he runs a business. Two, he's legally not allowed as a business to pre-order something and mark up the price either. Like he can get his license taken away for doing that.
No. Let's take pre-orders completely out of it. Let's say you actually physically have whatever it is of the item that you intended to purchase to resell. Okay. What makes it any different when somebody personally doing it,
and someone with a brick and mortar business, and you know what you're getting, and he's buying it from people who know exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
they're saying, hey, I don't need this anymore, I need the money. He takes it, gives them the money, and then resells it. That's a business. I'm talking about someone who buys it with the intention of, I'm not going to play this game, I'm not going to do anything with this except turn around and make a pure profit off of it. That is a different mentality than someone who's running a game business.
Yeah, there's a difference between running a business and being a scalping piece of shit.
And he's usually buying used games from someone who played it and then went, okay, I beat it, I don't need it anymore, I just need the money, or, you know, or I'll never replay it.
Here, I'll change it up, because I think this might be what you're trying to get at. If you're talking about the final value of things, if I were to resell something, I would list it at a price near what I paid for it, or sometimes, like, even rare games I've sold on eBay, start the bidding at $1, and I get what the public wants to pay for it. I don't initially list it, you know, oh, well, here's this game I paid $60 for. I'm going to sell it with only a buy it now option for $3.99. Burn in hell. That is intentionally scalping. But if you list it, I'm going to set it on sale for $50, but people bid it up to $400. They chose to do that. You're not.
Okay, but then I think your morality slightly comes from how it's implemented. Because, again, let's just say, for example, somebody purchases collector's edition of a game they have no intentions of actually, like, keeping as a collector,
then they're an asshole.
They buy it. All right, okay, they buy it, they wait a couple months, and then they put it up online, and they only put it up for $1, but the going rate at the market at the time is higher than what he initially paid for it.
No, but now you're just talking about a sneaky scalper, that's all. Again, it's, for me, it's intent. If you buy it, and collector's editions is one thing. For me, it's really the limited edition stuff. If you're buying a limited edition from any viewpoint other than, I am a fan of this and I want to this, if you're buying it from any other viewpoint, then I just feel that you're doing it for morally wrong reasons.
Okay.
You were doing it with the intent.
If I bought it from you, I would be buying it saying, I'm buying this for Chris because I know Chris would lose his shit if I gave it to him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I'm buying this to sell to Chris because I know he'll pay me 10% or 40% more, then that's being an asshole.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you buy it for any other reason than you want to buy it and own it and play it, you're a scalping dickhead who is taking that game away from someone who legitimately wants it for profit.
Yeah.
Hey, sure. But down the road, you may sell it. Down the road, you may be like, well, it really wasn't as good as I hoped, or hey, I beat it, I'll never play it again, and I'd rather pay a bill, you know, something like that. Then fuck, sure. You know, I don't judge anyone reselling a game just by going, oh, motherfucker, put it online, what a dick. But sometimes you can tell who the assholes are. Like, when a pre-order is on sale for, you know, 80% more than the selling price.
Yeah.
I'll even say it comes down to availability as well, because that's another thing you have to factor in. If it's something that is sold out everywhere and you have pre-orders that you only have to resell, you're a dickhead. But if it's something that's fairly, I don't want to say easy to find, but like you can walk into GameStop on the Friday that it came out, and that's when they release those things to sell, and someone didn't get theirs, or they changed their mind, or there's just a copy sitting on the shelf that you could pick it up and make $20 online, go ahead, because people had their shot. The people who wanted it had an opportunity.
Okay.
But if you're actively taking those opportunities away, you're an asshole.
Like the Amiibos, you know?
Yeah.
Like
so,
scalps were online with the Amiibos. You know, we had friends from other countries straight up going, hey, I got these. Does anybody want to pay just shipping and handling and costs? And I'll ship it to you. That's someone just being, you know, being cool.
Right.
And you have the guys like, oh, this thing is rare. And I know eventually they're going to have a second printing. So let me sell it for $40 right now online. First bidder, you know?
The reason why I'm curious about this now too is even just like, so the reselling market of video games in general. So you're saying once it becomes actively available for people to get, then if you find something that is marked at a lower price or something that you know that you can sell higher than what you're going to pay for it, then it's perfectly fine to pick that up and to do that and kind of like take advantage of that situation per se.
I think if the public had their opportunity and you can still find it and take advantage of it, go for it.
And the cheaper thing, you know, but again, we're playing around in moral gray area this whole time here. You know, I know as a fact that people have taken advantage of, you know, like Target misprices a game for $20 and they honor it. And so, yeah, someone out there is going to buy as many copies as they can, turn around and sell it for $50.
Like an asshole.
But at the same time, like you said, Joe, that's fine based on what you said, because the public had their opportunity.
They're exploiting a pricing error. That's just straight up exploitation.
But would you get pissed though if the game were selling for $60 everywhere else and they were selling it for $50? So they still make a profit, but you still save money. Are they still being an asshole?
If they bought an entire store to do they're an asshole.
They just bought 10 copies. You know?
Then they're an asshole. There's no reason to buy 10 copies.
See, I don't know, man, because if you think about it, Steve down at the store, he wants to make games available for people to purchase, okay? Like, he just wants to have the games that people want, okay? So every once in a while, if he can find a deal, let's say he's going to do like a buy two get one free thing at a Toys R Us or something. He goes and buys like a bunch of copies and utilizes the deal to get them at a technically lower price and resells them, but sells them under what a retailer would normally pay. Like let's just say, for example, a brand new game's out for $60. He'll put it out for, I don't know, $54. Okay? So people can buy it for cheaper than where they can other places, but he's technically making, like, I don't know, $4.
Okay, well, there's two problems with this discussion. One is, Pappy mentioned, a pricing error, not a deal.
Okay.
Secondly, all those sales that you talk about in the fine print say no resellers or no dealers. So Steve is technically breaking the law in this situation that you are hypothetically making up and didn't actually happen.
He's technically
breaking the law and can have his business license revoked if he's found out doing that stuff, because those deals are there for people, not for dealers, which is why they explicitly say no dealers.
Resale purposes. Well, it says not for resale purposes.
Mm-hmm.
In the ads, you know.
Yeah,
and then it comes down to, is would this hypothetical person be there at 8 a.m. when they first open in front of everybody else and buy out the stock, or are they going to go at noon when people have had a shot to do it?
Oh, like at noon. Well, he's then, never like, because he's too fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Then go ahead.
You know? Yeah, like he.
And it is, and it is. It what it comes down to for me is fandom, and limitability. If it is a limited edition, I really feel that the fans need to have and deserve to have first shot. You know.
Well, and again, and primarily the way that he kind of gets a lot of his stuff is he goes around to like fucking like yard sales, garage.
Yeah, and yard sales are yard sales. There's fucking fair game on yard sale stuff.
Sometimes right. You find that fucking thing and you're like, motherfuck yeah, they don't know what they got here.
But again, I feel that people that follow gaming as an industry in general, we obviously start to notice patterns and start to notice things that are advantageous as a consumer.
Yeah. But at the same, what I do want to point out though is look at what they've done with Record Store Day. You know, Record Store Day is very much in order to stock the albums to sell. You have to sign a deal saying you will not sell it online, period. And it's one per customer per item. And now, and you actually see if someone puts those things up online for resale, a lot of times they get like fucking attacked. Like sometimes, was it DDoS, denial of service?
Yeah.
Doxed. There we go.
Yeah.
Because. The fans are like, no, motherfucker, the fans are supposed to buy these, not the assholes. Resell them, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just in the game world, we're a lot more corrupt and very poor at self-policing because so many people have so many different opinions on it, you know? Because it's also a bigger world, too. You know, it's easier to police the vinyl fandom.
Yeah, that's true.
A much smaller group than it is to police gamers who range in age from, you know, 2 to 100, and some of them are total assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many, like, Amiibo, when they were super height of popularity, like, a chief example could be the Gold Mario Amiibo that got one release in America. It got, like, one release in Japan, I think one release in Australia. Like, it's one of the hardest to get. And when I went up to Walmart to get mine, because it was a Walmart exclusive, there's a line of people there, they said that there is a limit of one per customer, and if you get yours, you can go to the back of the line and get another one, which okay. I'm okay with that. Apparently at some Walmart stores they didn't have that rule, so the very first person in line bought out the entire stock.
Yeah, and I blame
that's an asshole.
Yeah, I blame Walmart for letting that happen just as much as I blame that guy for being an asshole.
Yeah, like you know, that shit shouldn't happen at all.
Right.
But again, you know, on a total
and that's also
Walmart paid their employees a living wage. Maybe they'd have given a fuck.
Well, you know what? And let's be honest that there are a lot of employees that, you know, we're giving a lot of shitty people benefits of the doubt.
I don't want to veer into politics on our show because I'll piss off some of our listeners. But you know, I think
Rocket League is going to do fine.
I think people in the world. They released Rocket League sales for the Xbox yet?
All we heard was that it hit over 1 million unique players,
which ain't bad.
Which is pretty goddamn good. Speaking of Xbox, let's.
February 24th, their sales numbers are over 4 million, but that's it.
That wasn't only on Xbox. That was just general sales numbers.
At least that's nice. I wish I made 70 million.
Anyway, Xbox One has some new backward compatible titles out this week.
Oh, that's right.
They've been going on a roll with these. People complained for a while that, there's nothing ever coming out. And lately, they've been dropping some fairly big bombs. The first ones announced this week were Soul Calibur 2 HD, King of Fighters 98, and Halo Wars was released to the public instead of just in preview. Content to just sit on that for a week, they made Left 4 Dead 2 available.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And
it's a really big
also one. In the past 2 days, because they're going to be backward compatible titles, they just went ahead and now Dead Space is available and Saints Row 4 is available.
Saints Row 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, so on, I can time suck it again.
On top of that, with Dead Space, not only is it now backward compatible, and not only is it going to be a game with gold title, it is officially in the EA Access Vault.
Which one?
Dead Space.
Ooh, I never played Dead Space.
So if you're not a gold member, or if you end up missing out on the 15 days it's available as games with gold, you could get EA Access, and it's in the vault, which makes it the second Xbox 360 title to be in the vault, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I need to re-up on that. So did you guys notice that there's one on PC now, too?
Yeah, Origin Access.
It's just a shame that I hate that game.
What, Dead Space?
Yeah.
Bitch.
I love the concept, but no, that over the shoulder, you took up so much room. I kept trying to look over the guy's shoulder to see the rest of the fucking screen. And it'd be one thing if you could, you know, adjust camera and zoom, but no, like, it was a fixed, this guy's shoulder takes up a quarter of your TV screen forever.
Yeah, and that's the game.
I could not overlook that. It pissed me off so much. Which sucks, because it was a horror game, and it was a good horror game. And
yeah.
Other than that, you know.
Some other news is apparently Alan Wake is in the makings to become, according to Aaron Greenberg, the marketing exec for Xbox. Pre-orders have been performing well ahead of plan, and it has the potential to be a mega hit.
Sorry, one more time. You started cutting out.
Oh. I said that their pre-orders have been performing very well, like well ahead of plan, and the game has the potential to be a mega hit.
What's their definition of mega hit?
I don't know.
Because like anything could be a mega hit nowadays. It's like, hey, we broke even. Oh wow, that was fucking incredible.
I would assume that they mean far beyond just breaking even, like being a multi-million seller. Alan Wake. Or no, not Alan, Quantum Break. God damn it.
I say, Alan Wake's been out for a minute.
Quantum Break.
Quantum Wake. Alan
Break.
Alan Wake.
I'm drunk. Give me a break here.
Easy bake.
I'm drinking root beer. I'm wasted.
So, yeah, and that's actually something that we could shelf for a later show is why the game industry is the only major industry that doesn't release fucking numbers to the public.
A lot of them do.
Only because they want to. I'm saying, like, look at music and television and movies. They all release their numbers. It's reports. It's, you know, here's our quarterly report, or here's our weekly.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, the game industry doesn't play ball. If a game flops because there's no agreed-upon standard in the industry to release quarterly or weekly sales reports, they can just straight-up fucking lie. And that's why I think a lot of studios go under when – everything seemed okay. Well, yeah, but did you know that their last game only moved 10,000 copies? No, because the company was fucking hiding that information.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hiding,
yeah,
just,
you know,
not
what?
Announcing. Like, hey, I'm going to announce the art title sold like shit. Do
but
you want to invest in us now?
Yeah.
But I think sales information would help survival of the fittest a little more in games companies, because we do get bloat once in a while.
I don't know. You mentioned saving that for a future episode. Just let me know what episode that is so I could call off, because I have no interest in talking sales numbers.
Well, you know what? you don't have to dwell on the actual, like, you really just need, like,
why?
Is it positive or negative?
Yeah.
And by how much?
Besides,
you know what I mean?
Joe, I don't like actually talking to you, but I've shown up like 60 fucking episodes in a row. So.
Well, then stop showing up. I don't give a shit.
Not according to all the texts you sent me. Oh, I hope you can make it, man. It's going to be really shitty with just me talking.
Yeah, because if I have to find someone to stand in for you, I want more than a half hour notice.
If you need to find someone to stand in for me, you probably want, you know, someone smarter than me.
No,
and you can't find that on a 10-day notice.
Anyway, on the whole Quantum Break tip, reviews are slated to hit tomorrow, Friday, April 1st, despite it being April Fool's Day. One snuck out early by complete accident.
I was going to say, yeah.
Jim Sterling, the well-known Jim Sterling, inadvertently and briefly posted his review. I guess when he said it, he didn't set it to schedule. He just posted it by accident, and he took it down near immediately. But once something's on the internet, it's on the internet. Yep. And someone has taken a screenshot of it. Jim Sterling, who is known to be very harsh with most games, and he hasn't been the most friendly towards Microsoft in general, gave it an 8.5 out of 10.
Where did the 0.5 come from?
I don't know. I'm not him.
I just don't like, you know, that's why we don't use numbers. Numbers are too arbitrary.
Yeah, I know.
But no, a high review is a good sign from someone who generally gives lower reviews for those, you know, those kind of games.
Yeah. For comparison, he also gave The Witcher 3 an 8.5. So Quantum Break is as good as The Witcher 3.
8.5. Yeah. 8.5. Well, I mean, that's...
Jim Sterling, that's high praise. So I'll take it.
As long as I never have to see another video where he just licks a fucking statue.
Oh, seriously.
Remember that Bayonetta one?
Anyway, we have some games to give away.
All right.
You guys interested in giving some games away?
Yeah, thanks for sending me the No Time to Explain emails, because holy fuck.
What? Just... Oh, did you read them already?
Yeah, I reviewed them. Thank you.
Well, I never read anything beforehand.
Honestly, you didn't even need to read so much as just glance casually across the screen to go, holy shit.
Nope, didn't do it. Let us start with Griffin Knight Epic. I figure we could do a quick review on this one before we give the copies away. Fingers crossed we're going to have the creator of the game on our show next week, but if not, Griffin Knight Epic, let me pull up the info here, developed and published by Cyber Rhino Studios. It released March 30th for $9.99 on the Xbox One, and earlier this week for the PlayStation 4.
$9.99.
It is a side-scrolling shoot-'em-up, kind of in the vein of like a Gradius, something like that, with pixel-style cartoon fantasy visuals. And I kind of referred to it as a side-scrolling shooter, a Mega Man game, and an RPG had a fucked-up mutant baby.
Mm-hmm. That was about right.
Yeah, it takes the fantasy element and the RPG aspects with, you know, buying upgrades, potions, magic, stuff like that. It mixes in the side-scrolling shooter for all the gameplay, and then Mega Man in that you are going to different themed areas, beating themed bosses and getting their weapon abilities from them.
Yeah, in fact, the only part... my least favorite part of the entire game is the opening cutscenes. I was like, the story's kind of lame. And then you get into the game and you're like, oh, this is so much better. And again, maybe it's just me being kind of a grumpy asshole. But I like it. This is one of those that you can't... I really say at the bare minimum, you got to try it, because you can't really judge it just by watching a video. On the video doesn't do it justice. Trust me, I watched a YouTube video and I went, eh. And then Joe went, no, motherfucker, you're going to play it. Okay.
I'm
like, oh, this is fun.
I think this is one of those situations where watching a stream would be better than watching a trailer, because Shiz was playing it last night, and everyone who came in to watch eventually ended up buying the game.
Wow.
Yeah. And to top it off, the developer was in Shiz's chat room, and he had been bouncing from Twitch stream to Twitch stream, just watching people play.
Just watching people play it. That's
just
cool.
Kind of lurking the whole time. He didn't really like come out and say anything. But apparently, universally, it's been pretty high praise so far, which is awesome. I know personally, I give this a buy especially for only $10. You can, if you're dead set on doing a quick playthrough, you could probably do it in 2-3 hours. Although there's plenty of secrets to find, hidden areas to find, upgrading all your equipment, 3 different difficulty levels. Plus there's...
I like the difficulty levels.
Yeah.
I think it's neat.
My only real gripe with the game is on some of the stages, like you need to go left and right. There's a tower stage where you go up and down. And I have inadvertently gone down way too many times when I was just trying to dodge an enemy. Because once you start moving in a direction, it's an auto-scroller.
Yeah.
And you kind of gotta roll with it for a couple of seconds. And if you're trying to do a speed run...
And there is no way to speed up.
No.
You are the most chill Griffin Rider.
You just... I'm going to fly around here and just, you know, I'm going to chill.
So one thing I had to get used to, especially in this day and age, is that when you're riding that Griffin, you are not... You do not have that option to zip across the screen, you know. Even when you're using the controller to move right or move left, you're just kind of going, all right, I'll get there. Just keep shooting your arrows. It's all good.
But, yeah, I definitely give it a buy it. That's my decision on it.
I would agree.
I just say as a bare minimum, try it, because I was going to avoid it until I tried it. So
I'd go with a buy it. I enjoyed it. I was up playing it last night for quite some time. I dig it. I think it fills the void of wanting like a side scrolling shooter other than Aegis Wing now on my Xbox One. Because that was pretty much the only one that I had. Fills that void, and I like the RPG elements and stuff like that. I think it's worth it.
Well,
$10 ain't bad.
Well, it looks like 2 people are going to have to buy it, and 2 people are going to win it for free, because we have 4 entries and 2 codes to give away. And it's decision time, guys. You guys ready to hear some entries?
Sure.
We sent out on Twitter and told you multiple times this week, so I'm surprised we didn't get more entries. But we told you to tell us why you want it. And 4 people told us why they want it, and 2 of them are going to get it. Barry, our first entry, says, "Hi, I would love the chance to win Griffin Knight Epic. I always love shmup games, and this one looks awesome with a unique style to it. Maybe this could be the new Death Smiles." Good reference there.
Get it? I'm gonna shut my window quick. Because
what?
There was somebody outside talking, and I'm like trying to listen to you and the guy outside, and
I heard talking. I didn't know if it was you.
No, it wasn't me.
And I'm like, there's a lot more talking I hear than what's coming through my headset right now.
Yeah, it was very distracting.
Okay, our next entry is from Cole. The always lovely Eternal Rage writes in, "Hi guys, you know why I want Griffin Knight Epic, and what I want to know is why wouldn't everybody want to play it? There's a knight on a griffin, it's epic. All the reasons to want it are right there in the title. In all seriousness, I've checked several gameplay videos since you guys mentioned it, and I think it looks like a lot of fun, but that it might also be challenging. Thanks, Eternal Rage."
Did you guys bump up to like the harder, like the third difficulty?
No.
Did I
make a game harder on myself?
I've done a few on Epic, and that could get pretty brutal.
Yeah, I wasn't adventurous enough to try it yet.
All right, next one is from Angel Santos, who writes in, "I want to win the game because it reminds me of games like Ghosts and Goblins. So much nostalgia." I can see the Ghosts and Goblins comparisons visually. Gameplay-wise, it's a lot different.
Gameplay-wise, you can take more than a hit.
Yeah. Final entry is from Stu, I think Pedasso, says, "I want the game because I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah. God damn it. I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah.
All right.
I want to eat a fucking Milky Way."
Well, all right. Well, the podiatrist gets my vote for one.
Yeah. That's.
Ben,
which one?
Podiatrist.
Pedasso.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, podiatrist. That's close. Okay.
Well,
I'm thinking it's a fake name. Stu Pedasso.
Stu Pedasso.
Stu Pedasso.
Says Joe. So says Joe Camissa.
All right, so Milky Way is getting
I'm voting for Stu.
Okay, so Stu's getting a copy, and then it comes down to Barry, Cole, and Angel. So the one wants it to be a new shmup in the vein of Death Smiles. Cole wants to ride a griffin and be epic, and Angel is looking for a nostalgia factor. I kind of like Barry out of the three. Being a fan of shmups.
Yeah, okay.
Pappy, do you have any input on this?
I have no fucks to give on that.
All right, Barry and Stu, looks like you are two winners of Griffin Knight Epic. So congrats to you, and apologies to Cole and Angel.
Yeah, when people start talking about, you know, more nostalgia games and stuff, I usually let you two take over and decide who's better, because I didn't play any of them. Or played Death Smiles. I played Ghosts and Goblins for like 8 minutes once when I was seven. You know.
All right.
And that's all you needed.
We also have four entries here for No Time to Explain on the PS4. We have one code to give away, so only one person's going to get this. We sent out a call to email us something unexplainable, and those were the only directions we gave.
Just send us
something unexplainable.
Did not say be serious. So,
Pappy, you've got those. Why don't you read those off?
Pablo Andres Barriga Camacho says, ... I am being chased by a dinosaur as I type this. Sorry, I fell over and hit the keyboard with my face. Great, now a plane being controlled by a raccoon is on me as well. Sorry, there's literally no time to explain it any further. I need to get out of this. P.S. By the way, I would really like to play this game on PS4. Bye.
Right. I like it. I like it.
Right. For that and one, I just scribbled to get the... blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah.
S-D-V-N-H-O-I-R-G-P-O-I-H.
Oh, it's the Gvergleip.
So Daniel Wynn says, something explainable. I'm assuming he meant unexplainable.
Perhaps.
How I all of a sudden developed a severe case of atopic dermatitis covering at least 90% of my body. Never have any problems as a kid growing up, but now it's so bad to the point where it almost everywhere and it affects my sleep. Eczema is extremely painful and there is no cure right now. It affects all aspects of my life, and playing games gives me a pleasant distraction from all the misery and pain I've been suffering through these past 3 years.
Man, that's shitty.
Daniel has quite literally full body eczema and pain.
Yeah, well, that's something you can't really explain. It just happens. Man, that blows.
No, yeah, eczema is not genetic or anything. It just happens. Alex Lee says, a former police officer, David Polidays, has been investigating mysterious disappearances of people who go missing in national parks. Some of the people who go missing are never seen again, and others are later found with no recollection of what happened to them.
Can't explain that one.
And PSN Addicts writes, I'd like to win because... Wait, there's no time to explain. Argloda, not the eyes. Ahora, the bees. Please pick me before the bees take me to their queen. Please save me. I don't want to be human honey. And I'm done.
I'm going to go out there and say I'm going to rule out PSN Addicts just because I'm going to use their response against them and say not the bees.
Not the bees. So we have Alex Lee, who gave us a real world, you know, disappearing people. Daniel Wen, who has
unexplainable full body eczema.
And Pablo, who is dinosaurs, raccoons,
who,
all sorts of
things. Who literally just wrote in something unexplainable. Man, do we go with the literally unexplainable email or the pity vote?
I know. I mean, it's hard to be like, oh, this guy was funny, you know, when you've got someone who was honest enough to be like, hey, you know what's unexplainable? This fucking disease I deal with, you know? I'm not even going to call it a pity vote. I'm just saying that, holy shit, like, everyone else was, you know, here's something interesting, here's something funny, and Daniel put himself out there. I mean, we have to assume he's not bullshitting us.
I hope not.
And I'd say, holy fuck, I'm personally going to vote for him.
Chris, do you have any input?
I'm torn. I am. I'm torn. I really like that. I really like the. Yeah.
Well,
I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't deny the imagination that went into Pablo's email at all.
All right. Well, I guess this is going to come down to what happened last time, and I think Daniel won a game this way last time. We're going to flip a coin.
All right.
So
that's fair.
Heads is going to go to Pablo. Tails, it's going to go to Daniel. So live and die by the coin. Yeah. So are you guys ready? Here we go.
I'm ready.
It is heads. It goes to Pablo.
Okay.
So apologies to Daniel. You live and die by the coin. That's how the cookie crumbles.
I mean, it's a good way to prevent us from arguing.
Yeah, we had four great entries, honestly. I did like the PSN Addicts one, but I had to use their logic against them.
Not the bees.
But yeah, I thought Pablo's was really funny. Daniel's was touching. I know Daniel's won a couple of games from us in the past, though, so he's doing pretty good with our contest so far. So, all right, next game to give away is Enigmatis. Have you guys played this one yet?
I texted you that I beat the fucking thing in one sitting.
I'm trying to make conversation, you ass. Enigmatis, the Ghosts of Maple Creek, developed and published by Artifacts Mundi. It releases next week, April 8th, for $9.99 on the Xbox One. It has been out for quite a while on PC. It actually has a sequel on PC, so I'm hoping that we get the sequel on Xbox eventually. I know Artifacts Mundi have previously released games like Nightmares from the Deep and Clockwork Tales on the Xbox One. They announced that they will be porting some of their games over to the PS4 as well. So PlayStation gamers will get to enjoy the hidden puzzle goodness that Artifacts puts out. And they were gracious enough to hook us up with a number of copies here. we have four copies to give away.
And wow.
We have seven people who wrote in.
Are we going to go over the review of the game first, like we did with Griffinite?
Yes. Okay, yes, I will.
I was going to say, I can cover this one easy.
Go for it.
You can save your throat.
Go for it.
So, if you liked any of their earlier games, like Clockwork Tales, Enigmatis is more of the same. It's a really interesting story. In this case, you're looking for a girl in a small town. And there's the mystery behind it, who did it, how they do it, and all sorts of your little puzzle stuff. What's different is that this one opens the entire world up immediately. Like, you do your little tutorial, go to your room, find this, find that. But within half an hour of playing the game, you can go to every area except for some of the hidden stuff that you're going to have to unlock over time. So while I actually found this game to be easier puzzles than Clockwork Tales, I also felt like it was a little artificially expanded because every few minutes you had to go from one corner of the map to the other and you couldn't just instant teleport there. You had to travel every single spot in between.
That's kind of been a running theme in the Artifacts games where there's a lot of artificial time padding with the traveling
that,
from area to area.
And it might be that they didn't really have that because of the way that Clockwork worked out, you know, going from smaller area to smaller area, whereas Enigmatis is just, okay, here's the entire town laid out for you.
Well, no. I know. It was similar to Treasures from the Deep, where it was just a giant map that you could go area to area to area to area. I mean, it did gradually open up. It didn't immediately, like, the entire map opened up. You still had to figure out, Like, you still had to have a reason to go to that area before you could go to that area.
Yeah, but some of it was still frustrating when I would see something and be like, okay, I know I'm going to need that. And then it was literally 90 minutes later of gameplay before I finally got the thing to go get that. You know, and other things, like, I was sitting on one item in my inventory for over an hour between the time you get it and the time you use it. So that was a little different. Again, from Clockwork Tales, which was just the last game I played of theirs, which I was, you know, I'm comparing it to,
yeah,
just as a chronology. But it was fun. I liked the story. I liked that they had a little less of the movement, because while their drawn characters are gorgeous, they look creepy as fuck when you move their mouths.
Yeah, they're static images that are like digitally drug around.
Yeah, and like I said, weird. There was minimal of that, so that was nice. I liked the story. I liked the pre-story. That was interesting, that you unlock after you beat the main game. And the puzzles, for this, I skipped two puzzles, granted. One of them I legit just could not wrap my head around, and one of them just angered me.
Which ones?
I already forgot which one I couldn't wrap my head around, but I know the one that pissed me off was the get a cup of coffee in the side story or the pre-story that you unlock.
Really? You had trouble with that one?
No, I didn't like, for some reason, I was just irrationally angry at it. Like, motherfucker, you just made getting coffee a fucking minigame. Like, I just got angry and said, no, fuck you, I'm skipping it.
You
and
a bitch.
You a bitch. No.
But no, again, bitch.
I enjoyed the game, and I'd say if you like Artifacts Money Games, then it's a buy it. It's definitely a fun game. There's no dip in quality or anything like that. If you haven't played one yet, then it's a try it, because it's not a typical game. It's almost like a point and click puzzle adventure.
It's a point and click adventure with puzzles and hidden object scenes. Like you can sure. Go back, listen to our other episodes where we've covered Nightmares from the Deep and Clockwork Tales. It is straight up point and click adventure with many puzzles in there that you need to solve and hidden object scenes.
I like the puzzles a lot more than the hidden object scenes. Some of those hidden object scenes are just bullshit. But,
it's like, I have to find a banana? Where the fuck is it? And then I give up and I use a hint and it's like mostly obscured behind two other items. I'm like, how the...
Or when it's, you know, find a beetle, and it's an actual drawing of a scarab beetle that's the same color as the thing it's drawn on.
Yeah, I will say story-wise, I think this was my favorite of the three that they've released so far.
Definitely very interesting.
I know. I really, really dug the story this time around. I felt it was the shortest of the three, even with the padding in the game. Part of me, I kind of wonder when it released on the PC in comparison to the other two, because I'm trying to remember if it was Nightmares from the Deep or Clockwork Tales, where you can, when you looked at the map, you could actually choose where you wanted to go and kind of fast travel. I thought one of those allowed that, and I'm wondering if that was something that they introduced later on in their PC games, and it comes down to how the game was on PC, whether or not that feature is on the Xbox One version of the game. But
I'm looking,
I don't
right
know.
Now, I'm seeing if there's a chronological release order of Artifacts Money Games. Holy shit, fuck.
Dude, they don't even bother, because they have released so many games.
Jesus. Fucking
yeah,
holy
they,
crap.
They have released an absurd number of games, which I'm excited. I hope we see more games come to the Xbox One, but I fully agree that this one is another buy it. What were you going to say?
Some of them are actually not point and click, which is interesting.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see what else comes from them on Xbox One and console. And I'm excited to see what they bring next. And I really hope we get the sequel to the game, because I don't want to spoil the game, but I want to know what the hell happens.
No, Enigmatis is not even on their front page. So it might have been.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's an older one, but who knows? As long as they keep bringing them to Xbox and we get to keep playing them.
Yeah, Ghost of Missile Creek. I mean, if this is chronologically, it did come out before the other two.
Ah, that would make sense.
If this is chronological, you know, I don't. There's nothing saying that it is. It's just their stuff.
Even still, for even being a shorter one, I enjoyed the puzzles. I enjoyed this. Like I said, I really enjoyed the story in this one. I thought it was their strongest one to date. I'm excited to hopefully get the sequel in a couple of months, and who knows, see what else comes from them. But yeah,
there
another...
are two other games under that title on their PC.
I know, so. I know, bitch, I know. But yeah, let's give away some copies of the game. We got 4 copies to give away and 7 entries. So you guys ready to do some decision making?
Sure.
All right. First one is from John Snow.
Sorry. I put my microphone on mute because I was crunching and I didn't want to crunch cast and I forgot that it was off.
Yeah, I figured that you just zoned out and you're playing Miitomo or something.
Nope.
First email is from John Snow. He says, "Hey, SML crew, thanks for the chance to win Enigmatis. I won it for probably the same reasons everyone else does, because I enjoy hidden object games. Clockwork Tales was a lot of fun, and I'm happy to see more games like this on Xbox One. Talk to you guys next time." So,
I always want to just end it with, "See you on the flip side."
See you on the flip side.
Yeah, oh, goddamn, now I'm forgetting the name of it. Boondock Saints, when he's calling from the payphone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Next one is once again from Cole, a.k.a. Eternal Rage. It says, "Hello again, guys. I'd like to win a code for Enigmatis, Ghosts of Maple Creek, because it is easy point-and-click hidden object puzzle game. During flares, my rheumatoid arthritis causes pain, stiffness, and swelling in my hands, and can be difficult for me to play games that require quick reaction or difficult button combinations. So slower paced games like this keep me playing. Thanks."
Everyone's just admitting to their ailments this weekend or this week.
Hey, they know that we do the sympathy vote a lot.
Apparently we don't. We flip a fucking coin.
Hey, that was a really good other entry. So
it was ridiculous. And I tried my best to give it the vocal styling.
I think your vocal stylings helped him get that split vote in the coin flip. So, next entry is from Joe Carter. "Hi, I am a huge, massive fan of point and click and puzzle games. I own every single version of Monkey Island and Sam and Max. I have a collection of old LucasArts games, including Grim Fandango and my personal favorite, Dave the Tentacle. I have only recently discovered Artifacts Mundi and purchased the first game on Xbox One in the last sale. And although I haven't started yet, I already have the second game lined up ready once I finished it. I would love the opportunity to win the newest Xbox One release to complete my collection. I'm an avid gamer, and I'm currently working on getting 111111 achievements. I'm around the 109,000 mark at the moment, just because I love the pattern. Hey, I did my ones, and it's cool to get." So,
I'm at like 6,000 achievements.
All right. Next entry is from Tanner Tate. First off, I'd like to say thank you for the opportunity. You're welcome. Not enough people do that. So you're Thanks. Welcome. And thank you for the email. Now to get into the reason why I should win. My name is Tanner. I've been playing hidden object games since I was old enough to play on the computer. Trust me, my mother used to get mad at me for always being on her laptop. Still to this day do I enjoy them. Most recent one I have played was Nightmares from the Deep, The Cursed Heart, and I absolutely loved it. I actually 100%ed it, or got all the achievements for it. I plan to get the Clockwork Tales of Glass and Ink eventually due to the fact that I really enjoyed the trial version. Both of those titles are games made by Artifacts Mundi, and due to their attention to detail and storytelling, I would love the chance to win their next title coming to the Xbox One, Enigmatis, Ghosts of Maple Creek. Once again, I thank you for the opportunity. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me back. Also, my Twitter is @TennesseeTanner if you'd rather DM me on there, or get him a couple followers. Have a great day. Fan and polite.
Yeah, seriously, like... Wow.
It was heartfelt. It was genuine. I felt it was genuine.
Indeed.
Just used to people being like, "Hey, assholes, give me a fucking game."
Basically.
All right. Our next entry is from Angel Santos again. "I want the game because I love puzzle games and I want to save the girl." Save girl.
You're also a girl who saves a
girl. I like how you're, like, making... You're pretty much, like, coming up with a tagline so we know which one is which.
Hey, I do that every time. And I don't know if it's a girl. That it could be, like, Angel.
No, no, I'm saying in the game, you're a girl that saves the girl.
True. All right, next entry is from Jordan Phipps. Hi, Joe and Pappy. I would love to win Enigmatis because I'm a big fan of Artifex Mundi. Hidden object games aren't well represented on consoles, and this developer is awesome for bringing these games to Xbox One. It would be great to be able to try it out and post my thoughts on Twitter so the game could get even more positive word of mouth. Thanks for the chance.
Yeah.
And our final entry is from Stupid Asso again. I want to win Enigmatis because I like to hide my sister's vibrator and then listen as she gets pissed off and can't find it because my mom will ask what she's looking for and she needs to play it off all coy and shy and shit, and it's hilarious. So instead of hiding things, I want to find things.
That was amazing.
So we have three more games to give away.
The funny thing is, I actually have a fifth code that I was holding on to give to Chris, but I'm giving that to Stu instead. So we have four more codes because Stu is getting that one. So fuck you, Chris.
That was great.
That's an automatic win, so I can't help it.
I volunteer as tribute.
So we have four more codes to give away between Jon Snow, who is a Hidden Object fan, Cole, who has arthritis, Joe, who is a fan of the genre and a massive fan of point-and-click games all the way back to the early LucasArts days, Tanner, who is a fan of the genre and also very polite, Angel, who wants to save some girls, and Jordan, who is Jordan.
Let's just edit it down a little bit. Let's give one copy to the polite guy and one copy to the arthritis. And now we have two copies to give away to four people.
Yes.
Okay. Are you okay with that, Chris? Like, yep. Do you concur? Okay.
Good with that.
Yeah, we'll just make it easier. Okay.
I agree there as well. Part of me wants to give one to Joe because he or she, it's J-O, so I'm guessing maybe a girl, but you never know. Just for being a fan of, like, old school point and click games like Monkey Island, Sam and Max, Grim Fandango, the fact that they're name dropping games like that,
yeah,
I kind of want to.
I'm down with that. Yeah, I'm down with that too.
So we have one more.
So it
and
comes
now,
down.
How do these three stand out from each other?
To Jon Snow, do you want me to reread them?
Just to hit the bullet points.
Bullet points.
Jon Snow, thanks for a chance to win. I went out for the same reasons everyone does because I enjoy the games. Clockwork Tales is a lot of fun. Happy to see more games like that.
See, you just read the whole email.
Yeah, I know. Angel Santos. who loves puzzle games and wants to save the girl, and then Jordan, who feels that the genre isn't well represented on consoles and wants to play it and tweet about it to get more word of mouth.
We'll do that one.
Yeah, because I agree it's underrepresented on consoles.
All right, so Cole, Joe, Tanner, and Jordan, you are our four winners, as well as Stu Pedasso, who gets
We need to figure out who that is.
I know.
Oh, yeah, Chris, by the way, my gamer score is 42,748.
On Steam or on...
On Xbox.
On, like, Xbox?
What
was it?
42,748.
42,748?
Yeah.
Where is mine? I'm trying to look up mine right now.
Am I getting into this contest?
I don't have that many.
Well, I can open yours up, Joe. I have my all friends list open. I'm trying to find I'm trying to remember what Chris's fucking name is on
36,000.
259,852.
36,858. Right, so Chris, you and I are about the same. Joe is E plus U times four.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, man. All right, next game to review on this show is called Steridin. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. Who knows at this point? It is developed and published by Pixel Nest Studio. Releases April 1st for $12.99 on the Xbox One. This is a pixel graphic side-scrolling shooter. It is different from Griffin Knight Epic in the fact that this game is a traditional space shooter game, and it will beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, just watching the fucking trailer for that game is like, oh, hey, look, this game doesn't give a shit about your feelings.
The visuals are fantastic. Awesome pixel artwork. The music is beyond retardedly good. Like, I need to find the soundtrack for this, and I hope it's an actual soundtrack and not just like production songs that they just licensed, because the music is awesome and I would love to play it on this show. The game is hard. Like, I'm having a brutal time with it. They call it a roguelike, and it kind of has some roguelike aspects to it. The game is randomized every time you play it, so the stages are going to be different. The enemy layouts are going to be different, so you can't just really practice it and get better at it. You got to hope for the best as well. There are cargo ships that can drop different weapons. There are different classes of weapons with a number of different weapon varieties in each of those classes, between energy weapons, heavy weapons, bullet weapons. There are little bots that you can like shoot them out, and they'll have their own special weapons on top of that. You can have two at any one time and swap between them on the fly. If a new one drops, you can drop one of yours and pick that one up instead. After you defeat a boss in each stage, you have a choice between a handful of different power-ups, which are all randomized. You know, it could be anything from like 2 extra health points, 10% weapon damage. Your combo in the game is harder to drop, or bonus to scoring points, stuff like that. The scoring in this game is heavily based on the different waves of enemies in the game, where in the bottom corner, it'll say that it's either like a dodge wave or an attack wave. If it's a dodge wave, you pretty much have to survive and not get hit. And then your combo goes up based on how well you do. If you get hit, your combo goes down. In destroy waves, you have to destroy every enemy for your combo to go up. And of course, if it goes up, you score more points. That's how you get higher scores in the game. I think I've beat the third boss in the game. So I think I made it halfway through, and I've played, I want to say, like 40 rounds of the game so far, because it's addictive. It will keep you coming back and playing more, but a lot of it comes down to luck in hoping that you get good enemy patterns, good item drops, good weapon drops. Even the bosses are randomized. Like, they could have different attack patterns depending on the enemy model that you get at the end of a stage. It also has daily runs. It has an arena mode in it so that you could just take on bosses one after another. There's more stuff to unlock, but I haven't beaten the game, so it's freaking hard. I kind of wish that there was a difficulty setting on there, just so even if it was like a pussy difficulty, I could feel like I could beat the game. But I wish there was maybe some kind of system in there to permanently upgrade your ship as well. But I can understand how if you upgrade it too much, you kind of just break the game and then there's no challenge anymore. But it's fun. I'm going to give it a try, it just because the difficulty might turn some people off. If you're an achievement guy, you're never going to get all the achievements, so don't even. Just give up on life. Like, I'm sure that there's going to be some guys out there who are insane at bullet hell games who could just destroy the game without getting hit, but I'm not one of
those. They already know who they are, so
it's definitely worth checking out and looking into. $13 is a pretty great price for the game. I give it a hearty try it. And if you're a fan of the genre, it's, you don't even need my opinion. You're going to buy it anyways. And the soundtrack, again, that soundtrack. Oh, my God, the soundtrack.
All right, so apparently the soundtrack's pretty good.
It's pretty nice. But while we're talking about shooters, there's a game on Steam called Bit Blaster XL, developed and published by Nickervision Studios. That's Nickervision. Just, you know, putting that out there.
Really?
Yeah, hey, you never know. The game released January 22nd on Steam, and it is available for only a dollar. The guy recently posted on Reddit and on Imgur talking about how when the game came out, it was basically just a personal project of his. But because of people supporting him, giving him feedback and everything else, he's gotten over 20,000 downloads for the game, which I think is awesome. And congrats to him. And because of that, he hooked us up with some copies of the game. We have some to give away. And the game is also on sale right now. So it's only 49 cents.
Controller support.
A game for 49 cents. Yes, and Xbox controller support as well. Have you guys played it? Give your thoughts.
I have not. I'm literally booting it up right now. Because it's only a dollar.
You wiener.
Well, it's not even a dollar now.
I have played it, and I mean, if we're going to just cut to the chase, I'm going to have to quote RoboCop, and I'd buy that for a dollar. It's asteroids with some clever ideas in there. You're a little ship, and you got circles coming at you, and you shoot the circles, and to get more ammo, and then different things happen where you can get a gravity well to suck in all the ammo. You can get a bigger gun. I like the fireworks gun myself, where you shoot it and it gets a certain distance away from you and then just explodes like fireworks and blows everything up, and so it's this continually, you need to blow up the stuff to get more ammo to blow up more stuff. But the tricky thing is, unlike asteroids, I learned the hard way, it's not a wraparound screen.
No, it is not.
And you do explode.
I found that out too.
It's a fun little game, and it is honestly, I was surprised that it's so cheap, because I've seen similar games like this on Steam, people trying to sell it for $2 to $3, even $4 or $5.
And I could see this game going for $5. I really could.
Check the leaderboards, and there are some insane people out there. I think I had 7,000 for my high score, and someone, you know, the number one guy is in like the millions. Tens of millions.
Was it that? I thought it was like 100,000 that the top score had.
Maybe I don't know how to count numbers, maybe. But I know it was a fuck ton more than me. Maybe I only had a high score of 7 and his was in the tens of thousands. That
maybe.
I think the thing that's interesting about it is the auto shooting.
Which you can disable. You can turn that off.
I was going to say, I must have accidentally disabled it because I did not get auto shooting at all.
Yeah, when you're on the ship selection, you could hit the X button on your controller and turn off auto shooting.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. There's a number of different ships you could use, which each have its own stats between speed, having shields, the frequency that you can shoot, so shot speed, stuff like that. A number of different power-ups in the game. It was surprisingly deep for only being a dollar, and this is an easy buy it because it's a fucking dollar.
It's $1 and a half off this.
Yeah.
Just go.
It's 50 cents.
Yeah, I don't know how long the sale's lasting, but seriously, the game is Bit Blaster XL, fire up Steam. If you buy games on Steam, chances are you have 49 cents just sitting in your wallet right now.
You can sell one of your bullshit achievements to get 49 cents.
It's very true. It's very true. You could just sell like a card on the marketplace.
Just buy the game. It is absolutely worth it. I would even say that this is a buy if it were a $5 game, but being 50 cents.
Yeah. That's a buy it. It's an easy buy.
I'm going to keep my eye on the developer and see what comes next, because so far, if this is their first game and it was just like a little personal project, good job, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. Good job.
We'd like to have you on the show someday.
Hey, if you want me to get him, I'll talk to him and see if he wants to come on.
I like how an accidental project became profit. That's awesome.
Yeah, right?
Just a little project, you know. Anyhow.
Yeah, and the reviews on it on Steam, it's like overwhelmingly positive, something like that. It's got a ridiculously good review rate on Steam.
And he found that perfect amount where nobody can bitch. Like, it should have been cheaper. It's really, this is like a 73-cent game. I just can't spend a dollar on it.
See, and that's what's interesting about it too. That's why, like, I actually really like the idea of the whole like pay what you want thing, which obviously like you can't do in Steam, but basically putting out a dollar is pretty much like, hey, here's cheap as fuck. If you feel like sending me more money, here's a thing to donate. Like,
yeah.
Right. Which to me is pretty much pay what you want. I think a lot of indie devs can benefit from going that route. Because I do the whole doing the pay what you want for the CDs that I did. I never thought that it was going to be as profitable as it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely worth considering.
Yeah, and seriously, it's a dollar, people. It's 50 cents. So just
That's the thing.
Grab it.
It's not even a dollar. It's 50 cents. When was the what was the last thing that you spent specifically 50 cents on?
A crane machine.
Oh, yeah, I bought a Coke Zero at work.
I'm pretty sure
the last thing that I spent specifically 50 cents on was like a gumball in which the flavor lasted like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just checked 539 user reviews, 97% positive.
Yeah.
Which is pretty insane.
So, sounds to me that you guys have one gumball that you can skip
and buy this game.
Just get yourself a game.
Don't be a cheap bitch. Get this game. All right, last game to talk about is called Organic Panic. It was developed and published by Last Limb. It releases April 1st for $14.99. It is also, I believe, out now on the PlayStation 4 as well. This is a 2D action platformer, worms-like objective. It's hard to describe.
Hey, yeah, I noticed.
The story is basically that once upon a time, all the foods in the world got along well, but for some reason, the meats and cheeses now are at war with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, as things usually are.
Yeah, and you control the vegetables and the fruits in the game, and it is up to you to rescue your friends and destroy the meats and cheeses and restore balance or something. It's insane. First off, it's insane. It's hilariously insane.
It's insane.
The different fruits and vegetables that you control have different abilities in the game. Like the carrot is good at climbing as well as it can shoot fireballs. Which, as we all know, carrots can shoot fireballs, which is just a well-known fact. Cherries are, they can throw dirt or whatever surface they're on. They can attack with whatever they're on. So if they're standing on metal, they can throw metal shrapnel at you. Or if they're on wood, they can shower you with wood chips. Their special ability also allows them to tunnel through anything, which we all know cherries are very good at tunneling through wood.
yes.
The kiwi in the game, they can spray water. So if you are fighting against some meat and cheese that's kind of in like a bowl-ish area or an area that you can fill with water, you can fill it with water and drown said meat and cheese and murder him that way. Again, this is very, very difficult game to describe, but it is puzzle-like in that you have to go into each stage, you have to eliminate the enemy, you have to collect a crystal and escape with either one or all of the fruit and vegetable, depending on the stage, to earn a gold star. And then move on. There are 12 chapters, I believe, in the campaign mode. Each chapter has anywhere from like 5 to 10 stages. So there is a hefty campaign mode in the game that will keep you busy for a while, with the different fruit and vegetable types, a lot of variation and a lot of thinking to solve some of the stages with some of the objectives that you have to do, as well as eliminating all the enemies and collecting what you need to collect and earning that gold star. If that's not enough, there is also a local multiplayer mode where you can smash brothers it up and just destroy each other in a variety of different kind of gameplay modes. Most popular, of course, being the just destroy your friends mode. The game's ridiculous. It is fun. It is goofy. I give it a try. It's for $15. It's if you've got some friends coming over and you want to kill some time, because it also has co-op campaign, so you could play that way as well.
Not a lot of co-op games nowadays.
A local co-op.
Especially not couch co-op. Yeah.
So I give it a hearty try. Watch some streams on it. I can support you playing and enjoying this game. It's just goofy. It's funny. It has a Worms vibe to it. So if you're looking for something reminiscent of Worms, this might be a game to check out. Although it's not a turn-based, it is all live action, real time. It's just goofy and fun. And so many games these days just forget to have fun. So yeah, Organic Panic. Check it out. Good stuff.
Panic.
Shit's baller.
That should be the last one for today, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. We're coming in at a paltry hour and 45 minutes, which means I can eat dinner like a normal fucking person.
There actually was one more game I wanted to touch upon. It is not an official featured game, but I did want to talk about Trackmania Turbo. Because Chris and I put some time into this one. And if you're not familiar with the Trackmania series, Chris, you've put a lot of time into Trackmania. Why don't you tell us about it?
So Trackmania is basically, it's supposed to be like a very, very precise skill driving game. It's very dependent on very minute adjustments. Most of the tracks are essentially like kind of like a sprint. So essentially you just have like starting at one area and then you just try and get to the other end where normally a checkpoint would be, and you have to reach it within a certain amount of time. There's certain medals that you get for however long it takes you to do it. And it's super competitive. Like leaderboards are a huge thing.
Very skill based.
So here's the thing. It's very skill based. However, the controls are very simple. So the controls are literally you have gas, you have brake, and you're turning.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's most racing games, unless you want to put in that whole, you know,
you're not doing drifts. You're not engaging a button to do the drift. You can drift, but you have to drift by specifically maneuvering the vehicle to do so.
Yeah. Well, you still have to tap the brake to start a drift.
Right, right. But you do that like you would in an actual car if you were driving it.
Yeah.
Because I drift all
the time.
Yeah, as if I really drive, so just crash into a fire hydrant.
Yeah, don't do that.
I frequently drive up completely like vertical walls.
Now, I was getting to that. So the thing that makes the game interesting, once it starts ramping up in difficulty, which it does, it tends to do relatively quickly, is it incorporates a lot of unorthodox tracks. Like Joe said, you're riding up walls, you're like doing loops, but it's very like the physics is very in play here. So when you're doing things like you're going up walls and you're doing all this crazy shit, you have to kind of take that into consideration. Tim and I have a very, very dark past with Trackmania, because Trackmania, originally when him and I were playing it, it was one of the few games that you could run on a considerable, like a decent laptop. And we would go on, like, the very first version of Trackmania. We would go over our local area network in our computer hall at college, and him and I would just sit and just... That was outside, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
we would just go like for just hours and hours and hours trying to get better, just running the same fucking the same map over and over and over again just to get better scores. It was fun. I don't know why it was maddening, but it was just like it was almost calming at the same time because you're just like you hit a button to reset and you're resetting like so often and that it just becomes like a muscle memory. Like it just becomes a reflex. Like, yeah. It's if you really get into it and you really zone out and you get it, like, you know, you really get into it in that regard, it's a great game. It really, really is. And right now, what is it? It's like $50 for this.
It's
this version?
$40, and it has 200 stages in it, as well as Course Creator. So it's potentially endless replayability. I think the coolest part of the game was what Chris and I played.
Co-op.
There's called double driver mode, where two people can play and drive a car at the same time. And the game keeps track of who is accelerating, who is braking, who is turning. And it factors in what both people are doing and finds a happy medium on the fly.
Jesus. Dude, it was great. It was
it was ridiculous.
It was a lot of fun. It worked a lot better than I thought it was going to.
I know. And like, he would focus on driving. I would like tap the brake going into a turn to start a drift and kind of help with oversteering. It worked surprisingly well.
Yeah. Like it was, I was surprised. I like, that's really the only thing that I can say. I was like, I was astonished. Like it worked way better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Because when he told me exactly what was going on, I'm like, wait, so we're driving the same car? Like,
yeah, at the same time. It was ridiculous. It was
basically
fun.
What it does is it displays like there's a blue ring and a pink ring, and each player has their representative colors, and it'll show like where you're turning in relation to where the other person's turning. It's really interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I think at $40 it's worth it. To me it's worth it, but that's also because I'm a fan of Trackmania. Even though I'm a fan of Trackmania, I would wait until it dropped a little bit. I wouldn't I think it's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer to buy at 30, which I could foresee it dropping to that, like, not far from now.
I think I'm getting my money's worth out of $40. I think it's pretty good. For how much content there is in the game, lot of people complain that the PC versions have been significantly cheaper, which I could understand their complaint, but for what's there at the price, I think it's
yeah. Here's the thing too.
Steam. It's $40 on Steam right now, though. So.
No, the earlier Trackmanias.
No, the other Trackmanias. Now here's one thing that I will say with it. Previous versions of Trackmania seem to be a little bit more. It seemed like there was more features to it. There was a lot more customizability. There were things that I feel were taking away from this version to put it on consoles. However, I do think it translates very well. And I think like this version kind of encompasses some of the different vehicle models and different styles that Trackmania has tried over the past few iterations. And I think it's a good representation of the genre of the game and the franchise as a whole. So even if you haven't played a Trackmania game before, I think this is a really good introduction to it.
I think
just because it has all those different
people also need to realize that this isn't a traditional racing game. It is basically Time Trials, the video game.
Yeah. Think more like Uniracer.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
For real. Cause there are ones that have laps, but the majority of the times it's just a sprint.
Yeah, but it's all like car style. It's not 2D. It's full 3D.
Oh yeah.
But and yeah, again, time trials the video game.
The physics are very, very important in this game.
Especially because each of the vehicles handles so differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will take you. There is a little bit of a learning curve jumping from vehicle to vehicle, so it does take a little bit. But
another thing is, if you buy the game and you don't get the hang of it right away, stick with it. Although there's a very good chance you won't ever see all 200 courses, because I know I will never see that bottom group of races where, like, you need 140 gold medals just to unlock it. Like, that's never happening. Yeah. I will never get there, ever. Ever in my life. Chris probably will, because he's been nailing all the races he's been doing. But me, no, I'm fucked.
Well, yeah, basically what ended up happening was I walked outside and he's like, hey, you could try the new Trackmania. And I'm just like, oh, okay, sure. And I sat and I played it and I was just like, well, I can't move on to the next one unless I get a gold. So I sat there and I just kept doing the tracks over and over and over again until I got to gold. I forget where I left off, but I don't, like, how long did I play? I was only there for maybe, what, like half hour, 45 minutes?
I don't know. It was a while. You were having fun.
Maybe an hour. I know I cleared the whole first section with golds. So I'm starting to, I was slowly but surely getting my groove back a little bit when it came to Trackmania.
Well, it's good that you got your groove back, Stella.
Thanks. So, that's cool. I'm glad you guys enjoyed a racing game, and I'm hungry.
All right, so music this week, we are going to Stemage, the wonderful man who does our intro theme for now. He released a new EP on Bandcamp called Narrowband. 6 songs. It is only $1. So if you still have $1 left after spending 49 cents on a game, grab that as well. The link is going to be in the description. We're going to play a couple of songs off of that because we love our Grant Henrys on this show. And I think that's it.
I need to go buy some stuff on Steam, Joe. Can I have about Tree Fitty?
I don't have any money on Steam. I have never bought a Steam card, ever.
Tree Fitty.
I make the joke and Joe just goes right now, fuck you, I'm broke.
Pretty much.
Tree Fitty.
All right.
Send me about Tree Fitty.
I want to be like, and on that bombshell, good night, everybody.
Yep, and make sure
we be sued for that, so...
Make sure to keep an eye on our Twitter stream at the SML Podcast on Twitter, because we will have more giveaways in the coming weeks. And as always, drop us a line at the SML Podcast at gmail.com. You could win some games. You can get on the show. You could ask us questions. You could be a part of this madness.
Come for the takeaways. Stay for the giveaways.
You get it.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So final words, anyone?
Nope.
Thank you.